TGIV. Thank God it's Viernes. You're listening to the one and only Mario Solis Marich show. On the line with us right now, the extremely well-known, I guess, financial leader, Steve Forbes. Sir, welcome to the program.
Mario, good to be with you. Thank you.
You have a brand new book. It's called Power, Ambition, and Glory. And it's an interesting concept, because what you do is you take a look at leaders of, you know, from history, right? From the great times in history, and you kind of distill their leadership skills and compare them to leaders today, correct?
That's right. We took John Prevost and I took these ancient leaders such as Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, and others, and compared them, talked about them, and compared them to modern business leaders. And the amazing thing is, Mario, even though times and circumstances change, the essence of success and failure in leadership and big things and small has not changed. Human nature has not changed. And so there are valuable lessons to be learned, and I think good cautionary lessons and inspiring lessons for people today and in the future.
Well, the entire title of the book is Power, Ambition, Glory, The Stunning Parallels Between Great Leaders of the Ancient World and Today. Who do you consider a great leader of the ancient world, and who would you compare them to today?
Well, I think one example, not well known today, is a man named Xenophon, who was Greek. He was an Athenian aristocrat, ended up going along as a lark with a group of mercenaries from Sparta into one of these succession wars in ancient Persia. And long story short, they backed the wrong horse, so to speak, and so you had these 10,000 Spartan mercenaries about to be slaughtered because their officers had been killed in inside Persia, no avenue of escape. And this Athenian, and, you know, in those days, Athens and Sparta hated each other, so this guy was a real outsider. But Xenophon rose up, gave a rousing speech on how they shouldn't accept their fate, that there were ways they can get out of this terrible mess. And he ended up becoming their leader. But because he was distrusted as an outsider, he had to persuade them each step of the way of the things that had to be done. And unlike today, if you fail in business, you get a golden parachute. In those days, you got stoned to death. So he pulled off an amazing feat. And I think today, when you look at our politicians in Washington and some of the leaders we have in these CEO suites, they ought to look at Xenophon as an inspirational example of somebody who was humble, who didn't try to profit from his time in as a leader, and he persuaded people on the right things to do. And you don't see that in Washington. When you look at the healthcare debate, they haven't persuaded anyone.
Well, that's really interesting you should say that, because basically we're talking about the particular historical figure that you were describing, and it really came down to that individual's credibility, correct?
Exactly.
And how important do you think credibility is for a leader?
It's absolutely essential. It's trust, it's character, and if you lose that credibility, then you're not going to succeed, because people won't go along with you, or they won't make sacrifices if sacrifices are needed, or they have to do things that they may not be think that you they may not be right, but they'll trust you that you see the situation. And so we see it in Washington today.
Right.
Take the president. Let's compare him to Alexander the Great in the sense that he came in.
Well, let's talk a little bit more kind of, less macro just for a second. We'll get to him just a second. But I know, like, for instance, your own personal experience. You're the vice president of FreedomWorks, and FreedomWorks is, greatly credited, I guess, for organizing these raucous town hall meetings throughout the country. I was going through the FreedomWorks website today, and the kind of the credibility of the information that your organization has been handing out, let's just say it's not stellar. Do you think that the leadership of FreedomWorks should be more concerned about its credibility?
Well, I sit on the board of FreedomWorks.
Yeah, you're the vice president.
No, I'm a director, and I'm not an officer.
Well, of course, but let me just say so people know, because the reason I said that, because currently, as of this morning, on the website, you were listed as a vice president, vice president.
I think it's director, but I take your point on the information. And in terms of the information on health care, I'll take specific pieces of information that FreedomWorks has been putting out there, and I will parse it. And I think you're going to find that it's basically accurate.
But do you think when it comes to credibility, like you said, people in Washington aren't really offering leadership? And when I take a look at the tactics,
cite examples.
Well, for instance, when you're
FreedomWorks not saying something that was true.
Okay, for instance, the way and you're a great expert on the use of symbolism. When you go to the FreedomWorks page talking about the healthcare debate, the largest paragraph and the first paragraph is about socialized medicine. It talks about people. It refers to euthanasia in socialized medicine, but it never actually points out. It lays it out as if that's what's being offered by Washington, D.C. in the current bill that's being debated in the House. And you and I both know that's not true. And the framing of the issue, the way it's laid out, is symbolically misleading.
Well, let's walk that through. The part of the proposal on this health care reform, and there's several bills, as you know, floating around in Congress, thousands of pages each, want to cut
well,
back.
Well,
Let's take Medicare. Let's take Medicare. They want to cut $500 billion, and the president has said this, over the next 10 years from Medicare. Already, Medicare underfunds doctors and hospitals for the services that are provided. There is no way with the current system that you're going to get $500 billion out of Medicare without cutting back on the quality of service. That is an absolute fact. Let me finish, please. Who are the people on Medicare? They're people 65 years old and older. And in other countries, such as Britain, when you are 65 or older and you say need kidney dialysis, you won't get it. They won't give it to you above a certain age.
Mr. Forbes, I want to let people know we're speaking to Steve Forbes, and we were talking about credibility and leadership before he talked about these kind of exaggerated claims about the use of euthanasia. But you actually did what I would think was part of your criticism of people in Washington. I asked you a direct question about the placement of the paragraph about socialized medicine.
You don't
on
think
the FreedomWorks,
the healthcare system isn't socialized medicine? That President Obama said he wants a single payer system. Ultimately, he said that in the past.
Mr. Forbes, number one, what? Yes, I do deny that. Number one, but
what?
Regardless,
yeah, I can give you the exact quotes but, in 2003.
Mr. Forbes, excuse me, Mr. Forbes. Okay. What we're talking about, though, is in the House. What we are debating right now is not a single payer. We both know that. And what's being debated in the House cannot be referred to as socialized medicine. We both know that. And what's interesting, but I want to get back.
I disagree with you profoundly on that.
Well, these words have real definitions, and what we're debating in the House, Mr. Forbes, does not meet those definitions. But that being said, you are out there selling this book about leadership. You yourself.
You're going to backdoor nationalization of health care when you have a government health care plan that is subsidized by taxpayers, where the government has to give you permission to have a private plan in 5 years. I know this is an employer.
That is, but once again, Mr. Forbes, we're talking about leadership. You said credibility was key. And once again, you misled again. That is not what the bill says. And every independent expert outside of FreedomWorks, which you are a leader of, disagrees with you fully. But let's move on to something else.
Let me make the point. I just made a point you said about nationalized health care. In 5 years, I won't be able to offer my people the kind of health care plan I offer today, the way that bill is written. We've gone over that. So that's a fact. So when the president says you can keep what you have, in 5 years you cannot,
every independent person looking at that bill completely disagrees with you.
Let's move on for a second. You don't want to move on for some reason. I have another topic I want to cover with you.
Sir, Mr. Forbes.
5 years, Washington has to cover.
Mr. Forbes, you're doing what people in Washington, D.C. do. You're filibustering me. I'm trying to move on.
Mr. 5 years,
you do not want to move on.
The plan I have today.
Well, I disagree with that. Experts disagree with that. You've made your point. Let's move on. Okay, let's move on to another point. We both made our points. Okay. Also, on the FreedomWorks website, you highlight as an example, it's very well placed, the raucous, it's almost violent, town hall meeting with where Congressman Lloyd Doggett was almost accosted, where he had to be escorted to his car. People are screaming at him. That's highlighted on the FreedomWorks website as a must-see video. Do you think that that's appropriate leadership for you to be using that, in a space as role modeling? You don't say in FreedomWorks, don't do this. You say, this is something that you all should look at. This is a must see. It's clearly being praised. Do you think that that's proper leadership by FreedomWorks to be highlighting that video?
FreedomWorks is highlighting those videos as what happens when your government is not honest with people about health care.
So you think that's appropriate?
And in terms of cost of health care, the president said it would cost nothing. This Congressional Budget Office says it's going to cost at least
$1 billion. The president never said it was going to cost nothing. But basically, my answer is yes, you think it is appropriate.
Congressional Budget Office, which is bipartisan, and the Democrats appointed this guy the head of it, points out that it's going to cost $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion over 10 years. That's a big difference.
That is a big difference, but we have found ways to pay for it, as you and I both know.
But I
could understand why you want to avoid answering my question clearly, but can I say that you think it is appropriate then for people to almost accost a member of Congress?
No, that's not what they're advocating. They're advocating that you should attend town meetings to make your voice known. And that's why some of these people, like Dick Durbin in Illinois, won't do town meetings. He's not accustomed to having to answer real questions from real people who are very fearful about what is happening.
If you were being treated like that in a town hall meeting, what would your response be?
I've been through those kind of meetings when I ran for president. It's part and parcel of public life when you go and deal and talk to people who may not agree with you.
So you've almost been accosted?
I've been to those kind of meetings.
You've had to be escorted to your car because people are screaming at you?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think a campaign is?
Okay. Well, no, I've worked on many campaigns, and quite frankly, I've never seen behavior like that, and I've never seen a website praise behavior like that. Let me ask you one last question.
People, what the symbols they used and the way they opposed George Bush, come on.
I don't remember any Republican member of Congress having to be escorted to their car while they were being screamed at, but let's move on. You remember it differently. The leader of FreedomWorks, and I'm sure you just wrote a book about leadership, so that's why we're talking about the leaders. Dick Armey just had to quit his job today at DLA Piper. DLA Piper is a huge lobbying firm that, represented organizations just like AIG and, in fact, helped AIG get its massive bailout from the federal government. He quit today because of pressure. That basically people were saying, look, of course he runs FreedomWorks. Many of the clients of AIG, in fact, benefit if this healthcare reform does not go well. Do you think that it would be proper and good leadership for Dick Armey and yourself as a member of the board of directors to finally disclose to the American people who actually is funding FreedomWorks?
I think it's very clear in terms of the funding.
Okay, who funds
and,
it?
And by the way,
who funds you?
If you want full disclosure, yeah, in terms of the list of donors of any organization that takes a public position, go ahead and advocate it and make it the law of the land.
I'm not asking about law. We're talking about leadership. You said that it's very clear who funds it. Who then tell us? You said it was very clear. Mr. Forbes, please tell us who funds FreedomWorks.
You have most of it is from citizens, and that's something we're proud of.
What is the percentage of corporate money that FreedomWorks gets?
I don't know offhand.
Even as a member of the board of directors?
As exact percentage? No, not right now.
How about close? Give me a guess.
I have no idea.
No idea. And what are the corporate names that we would recognize that give corporate money to FreedomWorks?
Look, if you want to get into that, you can call Dick Armey, and they can provide you with the information.
So basically,
do you think
it's good leadership not to publicly disclose the American people who is actually funding FreedomWorks?
I think that let's turn the tables. If you want full disclosure in terms of who gives everywhere, do it with the labor unions as well.
Mr. Forbes, thank you for your example of your leadership, and have a good afternoon.
Mary, I'm sorry you don't want a debate.
No, wait. TGIV, sir. TGIV. We're out of time. TGIV. We're out of time. TGIV.